God's covenant with creation. I've talked about God's covenants between man and man and God's covenants with man, but now I think there might be a covenant that God has made with creation. Now, let's start off by reading Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. And you might scratch your head about this, and you can, might rebuff me about this, but you know, we'll come back to it, and you can, we'll have a conversation afterwards. But it says here, reading from verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and that God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And so the evening and the morning were the first day." Now, I can't read those that first verse without thinking something that I heard a long time ago, that we live in a space-time-matter continuum. A continuum is something that cannot exist without all those elements being together. So you can't have this continuum in which we exist without space, time, and matter coexisting. So if there were matter but no space, where would you put that matter? You know? If there was matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You know, all three need to coexist. That means they've all got to come into existence at the same time. And what's interesting is, it talks about, in the very first verse, in the beginning, which talks about time, God created the heavens, which is space, and the earth, which is matter. You've got time, space, and matter all coming into coexistence at the same time, the space-time continuum, creation, very first verse of the Bible, which I think is fantastic. But what's also interesting is creation commenced with a trinity of trinities. We've got the trinity of space, time, and matter, but within time, you've got past, present, future. Within space, you've got length, width, height, and in matter, you've got solid, liquid, gas. Trinity of trinities. And I just think there's beautiful symmetry in that, which talks about the intricacy of God's design in creation. Creation was instigated by God, a trinity, and creation is a trinity of trinities from the trinity. Which I think is,
man is a trinity.
Man is a trinity too, yes. For a product of that creation. Yeah, yes. So the God who created the universe has to be outside the universe to be able to create all these things. You know, anyone who manufactures something is outside of the product being manufactured. You know, the person who makes a computer is not inside it holding all the numbers on the screen, are they? So God is outside of creation, outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, beside it, unaffected by it. But God is not, so God is not limited by space, time, or matter. However, he is not separated from his creation, nor has he abandoned his creation, as some might suggest. You know, he set the wheels in motion, then just kind of took a step back. He is intimately involved with the affairs of man, and he cares about every individual. He knows the numbers of hairs upon everybody's head, and he continues to have an influence upon his creation. The fact that we're looking at covenant shows us that he wants to engage with his creation. The fact that he administers different periods of time in different ways shows that he's a hands-on creator, you know. And I think we're all familiar with Colossians 1, verse 17, where it says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." That shows that he's fully invested in creation. He's holding all things together. He's holding all those atoms and molecules together. He's holding us together here. He's granting us every individual breath. It is by means of God's immutable power that the universe continues to exist, to hold together. And if God was not still actively involved in his creation, it would just cease to exist completely. It would just fall apart. It is, isn't it? And I still find it incredible that he then entered into creation in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. He added humanity to his divinity. It talks about in Philippians. He added something of the creation to himself. And there, as a little baby in the manger, he held the whole of the universe together. How mind-blowing is that? Yeah. The awesome greatness of our God. The
mysteries of God.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm talking, that was just the introduction because I like that bit. What about a covenant with creation? Well, I think that God did make a covenant with creation. And, of course, one of the precepts of a covenant is you need to make clauses. And those clauses can be seen in Jeremiah 33. You can't see them there in those first five verses, but if you go to Jeremiah 33, what does it say? And there are two clauses here. Where are we? 33 verse 19. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that there will be not be day and night in their season, then my covenant may also be broken with David, my servant, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, and my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. So he's talking about his relationship with David and his covenant with David, and we'll get to the Davidic covenant eventually. But as part of that, he talks about the covenant he made with day and night, which is creation, which is what we read about happening day one. So it almost seems as if from day one, he made a covenant with creation. And those the first clause is that day and night will always exist in their season. And I've never known a day without light, and I've never known a night without dark. They continue to happen.
Yeah, and it's 24 hours.
Yeah, but he talks about a day and a night in their season, and we know that a day is longer in the summer, mm-hmm. and the night is longer in the winter in their own respective seasons. So we see that those clauses, as part of this covenant with creation, have been maintained. But also that second clause I find interesting, verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David. Now the question is, has that clause been kept? And I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. Who can count the stars? Mm-hmm. You know, the number of stars have never been fully measured or counted. And with every new telescope that's created, new stars and new galaxies are recognized, aren't they? What do the scientists do? They create another telescope, even more powerful, to explore these galaxies that they've discovered. And what's the result? They find even more stars, and even more galaxies are found. And I think with every new telescope and with every new star that is seen and discovered, God's covenant with creation is validated further. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. The scientists might not recognize it, but we do.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Now, I do think that there was an additional clause added, possibly, in the Noahic covenant. So let's look at what God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9, reading from verse 9. And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, but not only with mankind, look, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So creation was subject to violent destruction at the time of the flood. Every living creature that wasn't on the ark perished. Everything that had the breath of life in its nostrils ceased to exist, it says in Genesis 7, 21, 22. We did it yesterday in the Sunday school. But within the Noah covenant, there seems to be a clause specifically addressed to creation, these created animals and so forth. And, you know, throughout 40 days and 40 nights, the rain fell, the fountains burst forth, but the clause concerning day and night didn't cease to be effect. They continued to happen during those 40 days and 40 nights. But you can imagine the animals being a little bit nervous. So now God's another clause to say that he promised that he'll never flood the earth again, but he makes it to the animals as well. He makes it to his creation. So, you know, take with that what you will. But I think there's a third clause, and that's found in Romans chapter 8. We all know this verse. Romans 8:18-25. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I think we'll leave it there. Oh no, we go on. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why doesn't one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we wrestle with our sinful nature. We recognize that there's a bondage. Even though we have that liberty in Christ, we still have that bondage. We wrestle with our sinful nature. But we were saved with the hope of the redemption of our body. We were saved with that expectation that we will be experience resurrection the way that Jesus Christ experienced resurrection. We'll be freed from the wrestle. We'll be free from the bondage. We'll find a time of liberty. And it will be wonderful. But it would seem as if creation has that same hope as well, because the creation too struggles with bondage, and the creation too looks forward to that time of liberty. And so, just as we were saved with that hope, it's as if creation was given that hope as well, like another clause within the covenant. And when will that come to fruition? Well, we will experience our resurrection bodies when it comes to the millennium. And I believe that's when creation itself will experience that liberty and freedom. It says in Isaiah 55, and I believe this is the fulfillment of that for creation, Isaiah 55:12-13. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I believe there in Isaiah 55 we see the fulfillment of that clause in Romans 8 coming to fruition as God honours his covenant with creation in the millennium. No more thorns and thistles. Praise the Lord. Well, do with that what you will. Next week, God willing, we will start looking at the covenants individually in a little bit more depth. But I've laid enough of a foundation now. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'd help us that you'd confirm your word to our hearts. Lord, I know that there are some people that wrestle with these things. That's fine. Lord, please speak to people and help them to get an understanding of your covenantal love towards us, how you seek to bind yourself to us, how you seek to have a relationship with us, and help us to endeavor to get to know you, help us to abide in you, to know the joy of full and deep relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.